Isn't Jesus wonderful? He is, hallelujah. And he's moving in our midst today. He's here tonight, amen? He's here for you. Everybody say he's here for me. He can help you, whatever it is that you're facing. Praise God, whatever attack has come against you. Thank God he's greater, amen? Let's just turn right away to the book of Mark again. Same passage as last night, Mark chapter 6. And we're going to start in verse 1. And story of Jesus in his hometown of Nazareth. And there's much we could learn from this passage, like so many. And it says here in Mark 6, chapter 6, verse 1, in the NASB version. We were talking about different versions of the Bible this afternoon. Jesus went out from there and came into his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and the many listeners were astonished, saying, "Where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as these performed by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Jesus said to them, "A prophet is not without honor except in his hometown and among his own relatives and in his own household. And he could do no miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. And he wondered at their unbelief." All right, we could stop right there. Here we see a very familiar passage. Basic premise of the story is Jesus goes to his hometown. Bible tells us there he could do no mighty works. There he could do no miracles, this translation says. Living version, the new NLT says that because of their unbelief, he couldn't do miracles there. Kind of spells it out. It all has the same basic idea, but there's some points I want to bring out from this story tonight. One is that Jesus went to that town to do mighty things. Big things. Amen. And the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That means he still comes into towns and into people's lives and into people's homes to do mighty, big miracles. Amen. How many believe it's true tonight? Do you see it in the story? The Bible says there he could do no mighty works. There he couldn't do miracles. But how many of you see that we know that he wanted to? That was his purpose. That was in his plan. He didn't go there just to change people's lives a little bit. He didn't go there just to make the sun shine a little brighter and the sky a little bluer. Amen. He went there to transform lives, to do what people thought was impossible. He went there to do what people thought could never happen. He went there to do mighty works. Everybody say mighty works. Thank God Jesus still does mighty works today. Boy, I'm thankful for it. He doesn't just do the little things, you know. I hate it. I hate some of the greeting cards and the Christian calendars and things. Oh, you know, God is in the little things. Yeah, of course he's in the little things. But bless God, we need to know that God is in the big things, amen. Because, well, sometimes you need big things. Has anybody ever needed a big thing before? Amen. My hand is up. Have you ever needed a big thing? I don't want to have the God who's just in the little things. We need to remember the God who's in the big things. Amen. Glory to God, the God for whom nothing is impossible, the God for whom nothing is too difficult, amen. The God who parted the Red Sea, who rained manna from heaven, who caused that axe head to float, who rained down fire on Mount Carmel, the God who created everything you see in this world, the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who created you and me, the God who's still in the big things, amen. Glory to God. He's a big God, isn't he? Turn to your neighbor and say, he's a big God. He's in the big things, praise God. I know, it rubs me the wrong way, you know, when people say, oh, you know, just the God of the little things, and he's in the little things. And of course, yes, he's in every, you know, he's in all kinds of good things, all good things. He's not in the bad things, amen. Yes, he's in the small good things. He's in the things where you feel a little better. But bless God, my heart goes out to the person. Are you hearing me tonight? My heart goes out to the person who is in the bad situation, amen, that needs the big thing. I want them to know that God has not forgotten them, amen, that he loves them. And the promises of the word of God are the same to the person who has the slight difficulty as the person who is at the point of death, praise God. And the promises of the things of God are to the person who has the headache as much to the person who has the most serious thing that we could think of that could happen to the human body, amen. He is the God, he is the answer for both of those people. And he doesn't have more compassion for the person who is in the small problem than he does for the person that's in the big problem. And he looks on them with the same heart of compassion. And he looks on them with the same mercy. And he looks on them with the same willingness to move in their situation. So we cannot put God in the box of the God who does little things. Amen. Glory to God. The promises of the word. You know, I like to say this. We prayed for some people with breathing difficulties. Amen. Thank God, this sister. What a beautiful testimony. What was it? Some kind of asthma, right? Environmental induced asthma. Thank God. Did you know that the promise, that's the God's will for her. God wanted to do that for her, blessed her. But thank God if there was here somebody here who last night who just had one lung and the one lung they had left was just hanging on a little bit. You know that it would be God's will to move for that person just as much as this sister here. Amen. And for him, it's not any harder. He wants to do the big things. If somebody needs a big thing, God wants to do the big thing. Amen. Jesus went there to do mighty works. Why did he go there to do mighty works? Because there's some people who need mighty works. Of course he went there to do mighty works. If there was a creation of God, if there was a human being, somebody that God created that was suffering, and the only thing that would answer their pain, the only thing that would answer their suffering is a mighty work, then that's exactly what God wants to do. He's the God of mighty works, amen. Thank God. Yeah, it's nice. It's nice. How many know what I'm talking about when I say the sky a little bluer, the sun a little brighter, you know, the air a little. I just thank God he's in the little things. Raise your hand if you know what am I connecting here. Yeah, right. But thank God he's also the God that raised Lazarus from the dead. After he was dead for 3 days, after even Jesus' own disciples said, it's too late, there's nothing, he's that God too, amen. He's not just the God that sends the butterfly past somebody's window, amen, so they know that he's with them, amen, are you with me? He's not just that God. I'm thankful for whatever encourages you, whatever God has done to help you through, amen. That's good, but if you think that that's the limit of his power and that's the most he does, then you're in a bad place when you need like a God-sized miracle. Hallelujah. So I just like to preach on God-sized miracles a lot. Amen. Jesus went to Nazareth to do mighty works. Jesus went to Nazareth to do the big things. Because surely there was people in Nazareth just like people here in Augusta. Amen. That need big things. Praise God. And he is the God who can. Amen. And he is the God who wants to do big things. Amen. That's an important thing to point out from this story. There he could do no mighty works. See, if you just looked at that from an outside situation and didn't get the answer from the word, how the word describes it, how the word explains it, you might look at that situation and say, look at there in Nazareth. I guess it just wasn't God's will to do mighty works there because they didn't happen. Are you hearing me? Many people are looking at their situations like that today. I guess if God wanted to, he would have done it already. I guess because it hasn't happened in our time, in our day. Sometimes it happens when we look at different times in history and we can look back and think, oh, look how God was moving in this place, or look how God was moving in that time. I guess if he wanted it now, he would just do it. How many know that's the wrong conclusion? You could have made that conclusion about Nazareth. You could have said, well, if God wanted to do miracles there, I guess he would have. No, it said he wanted to. He wanted to, but he couldn't. Why? Because of their own belief. Isn't that right? This is not a discouraging thing. This is an encouraging thing. This is what I see. We're talking about faith in these meetings. That was something that was on my heart to talk about faith. So think about it. What we can conclude from this story of Jesus at Nazareth is faith produces mighty works. Everybody say it. Say, faith produces mighty works. Only thing that stood between those people and some mighty works was a little bit of faith. Amen. That's it. Thank God, that's a problem that could be fixed, friends. Amen. That's a problem that could be fixed. Little bit of faith, praise God. How many are believers here? Praise God. Amen. That's a problem that can be fixed. If the problem is that you need a mighty work, it's a problem that can be fixed with a little bit of faith. Amen. There he could do no mighty works because of their faith. Then we've got the equation. Faith equals mighty works. Amen. Isn't that right? It says that was the thing. Because of their unbelief, there he could do no mighty works. Wasn't because, amen, let's talk about this a while. Wasn't because there was people in that town who made mistakes and missed God and committed too many sins and did the wrong thing. Bible doesn't even address that. Didn't say that Jesus marveled because of their sin. Amen. All, it doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say that Jesus, I'm going to preach Sunday morning's message again if I'm not careful. It doesn't say that Jesus marveled because, you know, there wasn't enough anointing there. I mean, you know, when Jesus walked in, there was enough anointing there. Amen. They had everything they needed from the Lord. So we can take that equation and see faith equals mighty works. Let's say it one more time. Say faith equals mighty works. So some things we could conclude from the message. One is that God wants to do mighty works. If he wanted to do it then, he wants to do it now. And he wants to do it because he loves people. And he loves the people who need the mighty works as much as he loves the people who just need a hangnail to be healed. Amen. That's why God does mighty works. Man, that's always, it's always, whenever I'd hear, and you hear it a lot. You hear it a lot for a few different reasons. A lot of people will try to limit God. And they'll try to limit his power and try to limit what he'll do in our midst. And it comes in a lot of different packages, this limitation. I'll tell you one reason. The devil hates the mighty works of God. Did you know that? You can see it in the book of John where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And after Lazarus is raised from the dead, I don't know if you ever studied it before, but that was the key thing. That was kind of, it's interesting, because that was the most notable miracle that took place in Jesus' earthly ministry, aside from his death, burial, and resurrection. And if you ever study it out, it was after that took place, because that really started to shake things up. I mean, this guy, people knew, man. I mean, imagine what it would happen if it happened today. There were people back then just like now. Maybe news traveled a little slower because they didn't have the internet and whatnot. But news was getting out. People were hearing about it. Dude's been dead 4 days. Now he's up. It was starting to shake things up. And you remember the Pharisees got together and they had a little powwow. And they said, if we don't stop this, everybody's going to believe. The enemy hates, that's, and they were right. Enemy hates the mighty works of God. Tries to stop them. Tries to create doctrines and put them in the church to limit them. Tries to cause confusion around them. Tries to come up with things like God doesn't do them anymore. It's the same spirit back there in John that said, if we don't stop this, everybody's going to believe. That's why he's still trying to stop it today. Because miracles cause people to believe. Isn't that right? I mean, it's spelled out throughout the Gospels. You could read about some of the miracles of Jesus, and directly after, it'll say, and many believed, you know. So there's one reason why we see these things trying to limit. The enemy hates miracles. The enemy hates signs and wonders, miracles that give glory to God, you know. The miracles of Jesus, the works of Jesus, he hates them because it confirms the word and it causes people to believe. He hates them because he hates people. Isn't that right? So he tries to limit the power of God to hurt people, to cause people not to get the deliverance and the freedom they need, you know. But there are some other things that limit the power of God. One is just the course of this world. Paul said in Romans, do not be conformed to the course of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I think just because of the course of this world, very often, and this is a big reason for us in the church, it's easier for us to accept and expect the smaller things because it's not as much of a conflict to the course of this world. I mean, you just think about the church and usually even among people who believe in miracles, the more common miracles, the miracles that don't challenge the course of this world, we'll expect them or we'll, you know. But as soon as you get into big things, all of a sudden strange doctrines start coming out. Like, if you want somebody raised from the dead, well, you need a whole lot of stuff. You know, you need special gifts of the Spirit. You need this and that. Are you hearing me? Well, yeah, we know. Like, it's interesting. There's these people that they say, you know, the miracles of God have passed away. They call themselves cessationists, that the miracles of God has ceased. He's ceased doing miracles. And really, it's really confusing because I want to say, well, what kind of miracles? Webster simply says that a miracle is divine intervention in the natural course of things. If somebody gets born again, I think that qualifies as a miracle. That's divine intervention, amen. If God's going to speak to somebody or guide somebody, that qualifies as a miracle. If a pastor in any church is going to speak with the ability of God, something, anything beyond natural ability, that's divine intervention, that would qualify as a miracle. So basically what they're saying is we're just going to limit the really notable things, the things that really shake things up. Are you hearing me tonight? Amen. But I want you to know that no matter what the world says, no matter what the course of this world is, no matter what the devil tries to stir up, God is in the big miracle business. Amen. And I want you to know this. This is not a religious argument. This is out, you know, just, well, it's us and them. No, this is out of a heart of compassion, God's heart of compassion for the hurting and the suffering people who need big miracles. Amen. And his heart is going out to them. I want you to know God hasn't turned a deaf ear to the people who need big miracles. Praise God. If you need a big miracle tonight, praise God. He's here. Praise the Lord. He wants to do it. Amen? So we see in this story that big miracles come by faith. Even the big ones. Everybody say, even the big ones. You know, I like to draw attention to Mark 11, 23 and 24, where Jesus said, in the King James Version, whosoever should say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, whatsoever things you ask in prayer, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. Amen. But, you know, a mountain moving, I think that qualifies as a big miracle. How about you? How many think a mountain moving is mighty work? Amen. Jesus said just simple faith. Everybody say simple faith. Simple faith could move a mountain. Amen. That's considered a mighty work. Jesus said the only reason that people didn't have, hallelujah, mighty works there in that city was because of they just needed a little bit of faith. A little bit of faith would have produced all the mighty works that they needed, praise God. How many got a little bit of faith tonight? Amen. Jesus said faith is a mustard seed. Will get the job done certainly for whatever you need, amen. He used the example of moving a mountain. That's just for the sake of you knowing that anything I need is less than having to move a mountain. So whatever you need tonight, you just need a little bit of faith, praise God. Amen. There he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. But you flip that around, the flip side to that very scripture is with belief they'd have mighty works, praise God. Oh man, that's a note of victory in there, amen. With a little bit of faith, they'd have mighty works. How many want to see more mighty works in your life? Little bit of faith and you'll have mighty works. Because Jesus came to your house just like he came to Nazareth to do mighty works. Jesus came to live in your heart and he came into your life to do mighty works, praise God. To do the mighty works you need, to do the mighty works that you need for breakthrough, to do the mighty works you need for in your health, to do the mighty works you need in your finances. But I've got good news for you. He wants to do some mighty works in your life just because he's a God that does mighty works. Not just when there's an emergency, not just when there's a crisis, not just when it's life and death, but just because he's God and he lives in your house. Amen. Think about it, you know. You think about some of the miracles of Jesus. The first recorded miracle of Jesus was he's at a wedding feast. How many remember the story? It was in a city called Cana. And he's in this city, and he's there with his mother. It's a wedding party, man. I mean, it's not even, you know, not even a service. There's no crowds there. There's no, you know, there's no nothing like that. But they're just at this wedding feast, and news comes to Jesus that they have run out of refreshments. Amen? That's it. They're out of wine. And so Mary says to Jesus, this is interesting. She sees it as an opportunity for a miracle. And she says, why don't you do something about this, Jesus? Well, his first response is, woman, it's not my time, you know. Don't bother me yet. That's interesting. Amen. You could study this out. There was a few people that when they came to Jesus, their first answer was no. And they still got to a yes. Amen. I don't know all the theology of it, man, but it's there. So he comes to Mary comes to Jesus, and she says, Jesus says to her, "No, it's not my time yet." But then then she says to him, "Whatever he says to you, do it." And it all came off anyways, you know. And so the servants go and they fill the water pots with water. Jesus says, "Bring him to me." He turns the water into wine. Amen. Now I want you to think about that for a minute. Was anybody going to die if Jesus didn't turn the water into wine? Was anybody going to lose their house if Jesus didn't turn the water into wine? What was the worst possible consequences that would happen? Maybe a bad reputation for the people that planned the party because they didn't calculate the crowd that they were going to have and they didn't have enough to serve the people. Terrifying thought when you're putting together a party, but it's not life and death. Amen. I mean, that was the worst thing that could happen. But Jesus still worked a miracle anyways right in their midst, and he did a mighty work, praise God. It's just in his nature. It's just what he's like. God is not interested in conforming to the limitations of this world. Let me say it again. God is not interested in conforming to the limitations of this world. He is not trying to keep a low profile. He is not trying to do things that won't rock the apple cart too much. Amen. He is not interested in, the big miracle you need. It doesn't matter how much attention that it draws. He'll do it for you because he loves you. Amen. Praise God. And I believe this. If we will just renew our minds, which is happening here tonight. How many minds have been being renewed through these meetings? If we'll just renew our minds and if we'll just expect the big miracles as much as we expect the sky to be a little brighter and the sky to be a little bluer and the sun to shine a little brighter, I believe we'll see a lot more of his mighty works in our midst. How about you? Amen. Thank God we've been seeing some awesome things tonight. I've seen some things, and I'm very thankful for it. I've seen some things in my ministry, my personal ministry. I shared this story Sunday morning, how I saw that storm calmed. It was an amazing thing. I'm telling you, it was a blessing to see. Want to see something like that again, just to see a storm calmed. Everybody there who was there, they knew it was God. They knew God did it. Man, I love that kind of stuff. How about you? Amen. And I believe God loves to do it, praise God. That's why he put those kind of stories in the Bible. That's why the Bible's filled with miracle stories. That's why he says things like he said in 1 Corinthians, where he said, earnestly desire and covet spiritual gifts, these kind of gifts of the Spirit that produce these miraculous spiritual things. How many know God doesn't ask us to desire anything he doesn't desire? The only reason he told us to desire those things is because he desires to do them. Amen. See, there are some things he told us not to covet, and there's some things he told us not to desire. Everybody knows that list, But how come we don't remember the list about the things he told us to covet, praise God? Amen. Every one of these places, we used to put those, the Ten Commandments. I know there's all kinds of controversy about it. They put those things all over the place. God told us not to do this, not to do that. Bless God, we ought to have a list of the 9 gifts of the Spirit all over the place, too. How about that? Amen. There were some things that he told us to earnestly covet and earnestly desire. And why did he tell us that? Because he wants to do those things, praise God. You think about some of the things on that list. Then I'll say this, they all fall under the works of Jesus. Everything that happened in the 9 gifts of the Spirit, you could all sum it up by the works of Jesus. Those were all things that the Holy Spirit did through Jesus. Amen. But you think about those gifts. He said desire the gift of working of miracles. Amen. To desire it. Why did he say to do that? Because he desires to work mighty miracles in our midst. He said to earnestly covet, to earnestly desire the gift of healing. Amen. Healing, praise God. Miraculous divine healing. Glory to God, praise God. Symptoms leaving, tumors disappearing, deaf ears opening, blind eyes seeing. He told us to desire it. He told us to have a desire for it. He told us to want to see it. Praise God, how many desire it here tonight? He said to earnestly desire it. Not just say, oh, that would be nice, take it or leave it. Too many churches I come across, they have a real take it or leave it attitude about it. Yes, we believe in it. They, on paper somewhere, it's written down in the bylaws, dusty, that nobody ever sees. Yes, we believe in the gifts of the Spirit. God didn't say believe in it. He said earnestly desire it. Amen. Those are 2 different things, aren't they? Why did God tell us to earnestly desire gifts of healing? Because he earnestly desires to heal the sick. Praise God. He told us to earnestly desire gifts of faith. Why did he tell us to earnestly desire gifts of faith? Because he earnestly desires to move through us in mighty mountain-moving faith. Man, praise God. I never said it quite like that before, but I'm getting excited. Anybody else? Amen. He told us. He told us to earnestly desire these things. Bless God, he told us to earnestly desire prophecy. Amen. Bible talks about saying things. Anybody ever said something to you by the Spirit of God that there's no way that they could have known unless God told them, and it was accurate and it was right and it spoke directly to a situation you were in? Has that ever happened to anybody before? The Bible says to earnestly desire those things. Why does it say to earnestly desire? Because God earnestly desires to speak to you and let you know that he knows where you're at. He knows what's going on in your life. He knows everything about you, and he's there to help. Praise God. Praise God. He earnestly desires it. He doesn't have a take it or leave it attitude about it. He didn't wake up this morning and say, you know, well, yeah, you know, healing's kind of nice. I just don't, you know, it'd be nice if it happens. He earnestly desires to heal the sick. He earnestly desires to do the mighty works. He earnestly desires to calm the storm. Amen. He earnestly desires these things. And he earnestly desires it for you. Glory to God. Jesus didn't just go to Nazareth casually. Just saying, well, let's see what happens here, you know. Get some kind of ministry work done. Bless God, when he went into Nazareth, I'll tell you what was right on his list to do mighty works. For anybody who needs it, and if nobody needed it, he would do mighty works just so God could be glorified. Amen. He did some miracles that nobody needed, but God was still glorified by it. Think about Jesus and Peter walking on water. Absolutely nobody needed Jesus and Peter to walk on water. Peter had a perfectly good boat. Peter could have stayed in the boat. Amen. But Jesus did it, and God was glorified by it. Glory to God. Why? Because God earnestly desires. Amen. Man, God earnestly desires to do mighty works. God earnestly desires to do mighty works. Amen. We could prove it scripturally, can't we? God earnestly desires to do mighty works. If there's a church that says, well, we could take it or leave it, that would be nice. They've missed it. They've missed God, because God said to earnestly desire these things. And because God earnestly desires them. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, I guess I've said it quite a few times, so I hope it's sunk in. Whatever it is that you need, whether it be small or whether it be big, I want you to know that God wants to move on your behalf. He wants to help you, amen. He wants to come through for you, praise God. Amen. Glory to God. There he could do no mighty works, but he wanted to. Dear Lord Jesus, he's wonderful. Isn't he wonderful? Mighty works, praise God. And I brought out this point. I saw it when I was sitting in Pastor Matt's office last night, you know, right before service. It said there he could do no mighty works except he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. So in God's book, which is the Bible, that doesn't even qualify as a mighty work. Just a healing. Oh, that's all. Oh, that's easy. That's not even a mighty work. That's just a regular, everyday, commonplace. Are you hearing me? Just normal. Everybody say normal. A bunch of sick people getting healed, that's just normal. That doesn't even qualify as the mighty works, amen. Jesus laying hands on everybody and every single one of them getting healed, that's everyday operation. That's nothing exciting, amen. That's a disappointment to Jesus because it wasn't quite what he expected, amen. Not because he was disappointed that sick people were healed, but because he knew there was more he wanted to do. Sick folk laying hands on sick people and a bunch of sick people getting healed. That's just, you know, that's a low level of what Jesus wants to do in people's midst. So why don't we just stir ourselves up for the high levels? Amen. Why don't we just stir ourselves up for the big stuff that he wants to do in our midst? He's still a God who wants to rain manna from heaven and that kind of thing, amen, to that degree. Bless God. I know people said things like, you know, in fact, Brother Hagin used to say, He'd say, well, God didn't make money. God's not going to rain manna from heaven because then, or excuse me, God was not going to rain money from heaven because then he'd be a counterfeiter. I always have an answer for that. I said, no, but God made gold. And if he wants to rain some gold bars in my backyard, bless God, he can do it. Amen. Amen. You could spend some gold. Amen. Some people are enjoying it. Amen. Thanks. It blessed the thought, blessed me. Amen. In other words, if there wasn't one person that God could find, although he always finds people, amen. I found he always finds somebody who's going to obey and going to listen. But if I had a need that needed to be met, amen, and God couldn't find one person that would meet the need, I'd expect him to rain some gold bars from heaven, praise God. Just directly send them down, amen. And that wouldn't be counterfeiting, right? Amen. Glory to God. Mighty works. What is it that you need? I think a lot of us, we've drawn back on some things just because of the bigness of it and because of the unusualness of it. You know, it's just not normal. It's just not. But I bet you there's some folks here that there's some things that are normal for you now that seemed pretty outrageous and out of the usual maybe just a few years ago. Amen. Well, let me ask you this question. What else does God have for you? What else does God have for you? Maybe it's unusual now, but could there possibly be a day where it's just everyday operation? It's just the most normal thing in the world. You know, I think there's some of us who are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues as described in the book of Acts. Amen. How many of you here say, yeah, that's me. I got that. Yeah. There was probably a time where that was a strange thing to you. How many would say yes? Right? And then now it's just, for a lot of folks, just how many of you here today, you say, yeah, it's just everyday operation, man. That's just normal. Yes, amen. Normal. Well, I wonder what else God has. You know, for Jesus and the disciples, it was normal for lame people who'd never walked to get up. That was normal. That was everyday operation. For things like Jesus, walking on water was normal. That's just what happens. Hallelujah. This stretching anybody today? You know, Peter, when he got that man up at the gate beautiful, he said, why does this surprise you to the crowds there? Why marvel ye at this? In other words, of course the man got up. Of course his lame legs were made able to walk. Of course he was healed. Amen. It's not too hard for him. So our degree of what we consider maybe outlandish, maybe, boy, that's a rare thing. That's an unusual thing. That doesn't happen often. I believe that we could grow to a place where some of these things will just become everyday operation. Everyday operation, praise God. Everyday operation, amen. Glory to God. Mighty works. Well, he's here to do it tonight. Everybody say he's here to do it tonight. He's here to do it tonight, praise God. How many would like prayer for healing? Just raise your hand. Anybody at all so I could see it? Yes, ma'am. Yes, over there. Good. Jesus is here. Amen. Well, we're just going to have you come forward, folks. Just come forward and I'll lay hands on you tonight as the Bible says. Anybody who needs it, praise God.